This is Greg Lancaster, and I trust that you enjoy this teaching from God's Word, equipping the saints to do the work of the church to bring God's kingdom here on earth. Enjoy. Hello, VFN family. Today, we're going to be talking about a message that I've entitled, actually the Holy Spirit entitled this in my spirit for some time. It's entitled S.O.S. S.O.S., A Tale of Two Kings. And when you think about S.O.S., what do you think about? What do you think about? Well, I had to do some research on it because we have a lot of ideas and a lot of concepts of what it means. But when I found out that years ago, during the telegraph, when they would send out little telegraphs and telegrams from communities, they had, would send certain amount of taps, like one letter would mean this, and one long tap would mean this. And when distress was happening, when something was going wrong, they would actually send out an SOS. And the reason why they would send out SOS was they were so different in the way they sounded when they came over the telegraph that they were easily to distinguish between all the other noises or sounds that would come over, and they would know that there's a stress taking place. And so basically it would be tap, 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 tap. And it was for us, we call it maybe Morse code or something like that. But what it was a telegraph. They were tapping out a message. And up until 1912, America never even used that. It was other militaries that used that. And it means basically that save our ship. Our ship is in trouble. We're in distress. We're sinking. Something's going down. And the Lord just had this SOS message on my heart for some times. And what he's saying is that the ship's in trouble. You know, that there's major problems. You know, save our ship. Save our souls. Something's happening to our ship. And our ship is our nations. Our ship is the church, you know. And our world is in distress. It's not a ship per se, but our world's in distress. America's in distress. The church, those who call themselves God's people, is in distress. And to start with, I guess I want to share what Father shared with me before all that you're seeing take place in the world today. He showed me a vision and a dream. And in this vision and dream, he showed me, at that time it was President George Bush, who was in office, George W. Bush, and he was in the Oval Office. And he was steering, if you would, the nation. He had like a steering wheel to the nation. And the whole nation was just jerking around. And the best way I can describe it, I don't know if you've ever seen years ago Star Trek, but it was like the whole America was shaking like that ship was. You know, it was a real cheesy way that they filmed back then. They kind of jerked it around. And it's like the whole country was jerking and jerking. And President Bush was holding on to the steering wheel, and he was just shaking and shaking like this, and it was a brave man's attempt to hold on to the inevitable crashing of his nation. That's what was going on. And he knew, and I knew in this vision, this dream, I knew that he wasn't trying to steer it out of trouble. He was trying to hold it as steady as he could for as long as he could before the eventual crash came. And then I began to hear the words as I was writing this out in my spirit. She's breaking up. She's breaking up. And so and when you think about SOS, how appropriate is that understanding that of our nation, the nations of the world, but definitely the nation of America is in great distress right now. But it was imminent. God showed me that it was imminent, that it was coming. And it started, you know, happening under President George W. Bush, his administration. And it's just major. And so I believe the Holy Spirit is just sending out a message to us and to his church, and he wants us to begin to tap out this message that we're in distress, and there's a reason why we're in distress. And so the SOS that we're sending out is sending it out to the, we're sending out to the American church, to the church at large, and we're just sending out SOS, SOS. But the SOS does not stand for us. It doesn't stand for, you know, save our ship, or the ship of America. It's basically a tale of two kings, if you would. The SOS that the Holy Spirit spoke to me some time back and has been really speaking to me about is the tale of two different kings. One king would be under Samuel, the prophet Samuel, and the other king would be King Saul. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 7. And I'm going to talk to you about these two kings. Now, the kings have kingdoms, and the kingdom has subjects or a government that runs their subjects or their people in their kingdom. And they determine how they want their kingdoms to operate, the kings do. And then they have their government or their subjects operate in the context of how they want that kingdom to operate. And so we're talking about a tale of two kings. We're actually talking about two different operating policies. We're talking about the way one kingdom operates versus the way another kingdom operates. We're talking about one king who said it should be this way, and we're talking about another king who said it should be another way about there. So there's the two kings we're talking about here is Samuel, who was a prophet of God. You have to understand that's the government of God. We're going to hear me talk a couple times about the government of God. And the government of God is King God, now King Jesus's form of government. And so when you see the government of God moving, you're seeing God move. That's Him. And so Samuel was operating under the King God. And there's another king that we're going to be talking about, and his name is Saul. And he's King Saul, which was a different form of government that was taking place at that time. Now, let me talk to you about how they came about. First of all, with Samuel, before he was even born, his mother's name was Hannah, and she was barren. Her womb was literally closed up by God, the word says. And she went through lots of struggles in her life and a lot of ridicule in her life. And people put her down. Even though her husband loved her, his other wife that he had, and she had a lot of children, that she would just ridicule him, obviously jealous, because he loved her a lot more than he loved the other particular wife that he had. And so just a painful life. And every time she would go to spend time with God at the temple, you know, she would just cry out to God and just say, you know, why is my womb closed? And one time she was crying out so broken over the whole situation that Eli, the high priest, was sitting on a chair by the temple and saw her, and he thought she was drunk. She was so overwhelmed with brokenness and just at the end of herself, if you would. And she cried out, and he said, you know, basically, what are you doing drinking, that type of thing? And she said, I'm not. She's just broken over this whole situation that she wants a child and she can't have a child. And so at that moment, Eli, the priest of God, said, I'll bless you with a child. You're going to have a child. And she says, I will give that child to the Lord. I will give that child to the Lord. If Father God gives, if He opens my womb and He gives me the ability to have a child, that first child will be His. So she goes back with her husband, and long story short, she has a child. And that child's name is what? Samuel. You see? And Father God knew by that the way that she, her journey in life, that she was so focused on God's ability to give her a child, and she knew where things came from, that she said, if you will give me this child, this first child will be yours. What am I saying here? I'm saying that King God knew how to raise up His government. He knew what He was going to do, because He was going to turn over Samuel as a child now, over to be raised up in the house of God. And so this child was, Samuel was from God. God orchestrated this child being in the place that he was. We're talking about the difference between these two kings. We're talking about Samuel first. He came from a barren mother. His mother couldn't have any children. You'll find that God uses those things that are not to nullify the things that are. He uses the weak things of the world to shame the strong. He will take a desert place and run a stream right through the middle of it so everybody will know Samuel's of me and he's not of men. He was raised up in the house of God. He slept in the same room that the Ark of the Covenant was in. That's where he slept. And his mother would come back on a regular basis, and she made him, sewed him a little small robe, and you know, and he just kind of grew in wisdom. He was taught how to hear Father God and hear His voice, and he heard God's voice from the written word, from the Word of God. And Father spoke to Samuel through the Word. God chose him and set him in place under His own kingship. You see, Samuel wasn't king. God is king and was king, and he was forming his government, and he knew that Eli was the priest at that time, and Eli was not operating in the way that God would want him to operate. His sons weren't operating in the way that Father God wanted to operate, but he was raising up a Samuel, a form of government. And so, so Father God, King God, didn't let one of Samuel's words, not one of his words, the words that he spoke, that he learned from the written word and hearing God, not one of them did Father God let fall to the ground, which means this, that Father trusted his leadership so much that when he spoke a leadership over his family, when he spoke a leadership over his ministry, when he spoke a leadership over his country or his nation, because his heart was in line with Father God, he caught that word and said, that word will come to pass. See what I'm saying? And that's what he said. He didn't let one of his words fall to the ground. He didn't say that I gave every single word to Samuel and he delivered the word exactly how I wanted him to do it. Therefore, none of the words fell to the ground. Samuel was so in tune with Father, he operated in the principles of Father. So when he talked the heart of God. There's not like a different voice. It's just one God, one King. And he spoke, and Father God didn't let one of his words fall to the ground. And he grew up among those who ministered in the house of God, who ministered dishonestly, and they weren't faithful to Father. So he wasn't even raised he was raised amongst what was wrong, but yet in the right place, if you would. And he spoke truth to power. He had the ability and the confidence to be able to speak whatever Father God says to whoever it needs to be said to. And he had to speak truth to Eli, was the very man, the high priest that raised him up in the house of God. Now let's look on the contrary, the other king. This other king is, and we talk about Samuel, we're talking about God as king. This other king's name was Saul. Now Saul, he was chosen by God. The man Saul was chosen by God because a man desired and they wanted a king. Now, Father didn't want this king for Israel. He was their king. But they wanted a king, so he actually chose Saul to be that king that they wanted. So it's a little bit different. You can see how Saul came about versus how Samuel came about. You see how very strategically Father God raised up Samuel to be in a place so he could be king over his people. Now all of a sudden, God's people said, we didn't want you to be our king, God. We want to have a king like everyone else, and we'll find out more about that. And so he chose Saul only because his people did not choose him as their king. And so he was chosen solely because of that, and because they wanted a world's form of government. They wanted their government to look like other kings in the land. And he was a result. Saul's kingship was a result of God's people's rebellion. That's the reason why Father chose him. But he chose Saul to be that king that they wanted. This is some attributes of Saul. Saul didn't trust God's leadership. You know, and God's leadership was Samuel. God didn't give up his form of leadership. He gave them the king that they wanted. But Father God's saying, I'm still the leader of all creation. I'm still the leader of my people. But Saul didn't trust God's leadership through Samuel. And he thought things didn't happen the way they should have happened or on time, and all of a sudden, so Saul would just pick things up and start doing priestly duties, and he would just do all that stuff. And it was very costly to God's people. He was just walking one day looking for his father's donkey and found out that all of a sudden he was going to be chosen to be the first king. I mean, there wasn't like 1,000 different kings, and all of a sudden he's going to be the next one. He was the first king over Israel. That's how you see how Samuel came about. Through a mother crying out, a barren mother, and Father God gives her a child when she says, I'll give this child to you. You see the difference in it versus some guys going, have you seen my donkey? Have you seen my father's donkeys? Have you seen my father's donkey? You're going to be king. What? That's how it happened. You're going to be king. He was fearful. So suddenly he became king. He was very fearful. He had a fear of man. He had no fear of God. He was very fearful of men and what they would do. When they went to go anoint him publicly before all the people he would be king over, they couldn't find him anywhere. They had to go through all the people and all the different tribes, and they finally found Saul hiding behind luggage. This is the tallest man in the entire nation of Israel, almost. but he was hiding behind luggage because he was so fearful of this whole concept of leadership, and you know, he just couldn't see himself probably in doing that. He was very prideful. He was one that built monuments to himself. I mean, the day that he lost the kingdom, it was the day that he was going out to build a statue to himself. Very prideful. He was involved in witchcraft, where he even turned to witchcraft because of fear instead of turning to God about directions. He didn't inquire of the Lord. He burned with jealousy when God would actually use somebody else other than him to be able to move in ministry. He literally tried to kill David, you know, when he found out that he was anointed by God. He was solely worried about himself, about his own kingdom. He wasn't worried about God's kingdom. And his form of government is totally different than God's form of government, because God's form of government, as we know it today, is it was a prophet. It was a prophet that even today, that he says it was Jesus. It was he that gave some to be apostles and some to be prophets. Paul talks about it's built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Jesus being the cornerstone. And that's the government of God. But the kingdom of God has King Jesus as king. He's king. You have to understand, he's king. So his form of government is apostles and prophets. His form of government that he uses, that we, the apostles, the prophets, and the teachers, that he's actually king over that. He's like the king, like God's king over Samuel, what we're talking about. So when Samuel was moving, that was God moving as king through Samuel. So when you see an apostle, when you see a prophet moving under the voice and the guidance of God, that's God as king in your life. That's how he operates. That's his form of government. And we find out too, by turning your back on Samuel, by saying, I'm not going to listen to the apostle, I'm not going to listen to the prophet, that how God sees that, we're about to find out. So when we leave his form of government, we're going to find out it's rejecting him, God himself, as king. We're saying he's not the king of my life. We're rejecting his leadership in our lives. We're saying that we think men, natural kings, would be better at taking care of our needs. That they would take better care of our health. That they would take better care of our work. Maybe unions. They would take better care of our safety. They would take better care of our rights. We're turning to this natural kingdom to be able to meet what we say, if we turn away from, that King Jesus can't meet in our lives. That's what we're finding out. So let's just look back. Look at 1 Samuel. And I wanted to kind of get you understanding that this is a SOS message going out. And I want you to really understand this, that imagine yourself stranded on the island, and you've been there, you ran out of water, and you ran out of food, and you haven't seen aircraft, and you haven't seen boats, and you don't know if any help's coming anytime soon. And you take a stick or your foot or whatever, and you write in the sand, biggest letters as you can, SOS. This is what you're hoping would happen. You're hoping that somebody would fly over and see this. You're hoping that somebody that would know that you're in distress and they would come. And let me tell you something, that the church is in distress today. That they turn to the kingdoms of men instead of the kingdoms of God. That the church has turned its back on King Jesus, and it started to turn towards the Saul forms of government. And so we're going to find out more about this. But let's find out, first of all, about Samuel. Look at 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 7, verse 2. And we're going to find out here about Samuel's form of government. You have to understand that, remember, Eli, Samuel was raised up in the house of God, and Eli was the high priest. And even though Eli was doing crazy things, his sons were doing very sinful things, that even in the midst of all that wrong, that Samuel was raised right to hear the voice of God and responded to the voice of the Lord. And remember, I told you that Samuel spoke truth to power, that he spoke to Eli the very words of Father God that said, by the way, you're going to die, your son's going to die, that your lineage is going to die. You were going to be in the lineage of the priests. Your children's 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 children would have been in the priesthood for forever. But because of what you've done, I'm cutting you off. And the only ones that will live, the only ones that will be able to live, were only going to live long enough so their eyes could see the tears and the pain and the agony that happens in your family. This is what Samuel had to deliver to Eli. Long story short, it all came to pass. You know, Eli died, his sons died, and they were under great distress. The Philistines were coming in. And so here's Samuel right here. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 7, verse 2. He said, it was a long time, 20 years in all, that the ark remained in Kirjath-Jearim, and all the people of Israel mourned and sought after the Lord. And Samuel, verse 3, and Samuel said to the whole house of Israel, if you are returning to the Lord, look at that, if you are returning to the Lord with all your heart, then rid yourself of foreign gods and Asheroths, and commit yourselves to the Lord, and serve Him only, say Him only, serve Him only, and He will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines. Let me give you a little commercial right here. If you're struggling with your flesh, if you're staying in sin that you can't get out of, when you see the word Philistine here, replace it with your flesh. You want to get free? This is how you get free. You repent, and Father God delivers you through His form of government. So He says in verse 4, so the Israelites put away their Baals and their Asheroths. So they actually did it. They didn't just say it, but they actually did it. And they put them away and served the Lord only. That's so important. The word only means only Him. He was king. Then Samuel said, assemble all the Israelites of Mizpah, and I will intercede with the Lord for you. When they had assembled at Mizpah, they drew water and poured it out before the Lord. On that day they fasted, and there they confessed. In other words, they're confessing, we've sinned, we've turned to other gods. We were involved in all the sexual sin and rebellion, and all, they're repenting of all that. That's what Baal and Asheroth and all that is. We have sinned against the Lord. And Samuel was leader of Israel at Mizpah. It was at that point when they repented, Father God set Samuel as the leader under His kingship. When they repented, when they turned from those gods, it's like, well, I don't understand why Apostle so-and-so is not, you know, he's not going to be put in place in your life until you repent. It was at this point when they repented and turned to King God, at that point, Samuel was put in government over them. If you want to get into the kingdom of God and get under the government of God, what you want to do, that this is what happens. And look what happens. It talks a little bit more about it right here in verse 7. He says, when the Philistines heard that Israel had assembled at Mizpah, and the rulers of the Philistines came up to attack them. In other words, he saw people that the enemy saw that they had them scattered, and they were always scared, and they didn't want to assemble. They want to come together as a group because people would think we're actually going to come against this form of government. We're going to come against what is. And so the Philistines saw them gathered together and thought, we're going to come against those guys. And when the Israelites heard about it, they were afraid because of the Philistines. They said to Samuel, do not stop crying out to the Lord our God for us, that He may rescue us from the hand of the Philistines. Then Samuel took a suckling lamb and offered it up as a whole burnt offering to the Lord. And he cried out to the Lord on Israel's behalf, and the Lord answered him. I'm telling you, there's nothing more awesome than Father God answering through His Son, Jesus Christ. Father God will meet your needs. And look what happened. When they turned to God. God began to show Himself mighty as King. It says, verse 10, while Samuel was sacrificing the burnt offerings, the Philistines drew near to engage Israel in battle. But that day the Lord thundered with a loud thunder against the Philistines and threw them into such panic that they were routed before the Israelites. They literally just, imagine this, big, huge thundering started coming down. It so created so much chaos that it just turned the whole Philistine against or away from Israel. Isn't that awesome? God can win your battles if you turn to Him. The battle is the Lord's. And so, in verse 11, it says, the men of Israel rushed out to Mizpah and pursued the Philistines. Notice that when God begins to deliver you, you drive a sword through that demon. You drive a sword through that Asheroth or that Baal or that whatever that was. You don't let any of that fleshly stuff last in your home, in your office, in your car, in your life, in your phone, in your computer, in your media, anything. You clear everything out. And they slaughtered them along the way to the point of Bethkar. Then Samuel took a stone and set it between Mizpah and Shen. He named it Ebenezer, saying, "Thus far has the Lord helped us." So the Philistines were subdued and did not invade the Israelite territory again. Think about it. The flesh was put into subjection under the power of God once the individuals repented of their sin and turned back to God. The next part of that, it says, throughout Samuel's life, remember he's in leadership now, throughout Samuel's life, the hand of the Lord was against the Philistines. In other words, as long as we're operating in the government of God and we're submitted to God as king, the flesh, the Philistines, were what? Not any problem at all to Israel. The towns of Ekron and Gath and the Philistines had captured from Israel has been restored to her. And Israel was delivered. Israel delivered the neighboring territory from the power of the Philistines. And there was peace between Israel and the Amorites. What does that mean? That means that that the enemy was captured. There was restoration. There was deliverance. And there was peace. Wouldn't you like to have that in your life? S-O-S. It says in verse 15, Samuel continued as judge over Israel all the days of his life. It wasn't like vote him in and vote him. No. Whoever God has chosen to lead, leads. He knows what he's doing. So Samuel continued to judge over Israel all the days of his life. From year to year, he went on a circuit from VFN church to VFN church. From Bethel to Gilgal to Mizpah, judging Israel in those places. But he always went back to Ramah, where his home was. And there he also judged Israel. And he built an altar there to the Lord. And so I wanted to be able to understand that see how God established, Father established himself as king through his form of government, which was a prophet. And he was operating there through him. Once they turned to Father God and they repented of their sins and they acknowledged what they've done, they did away with the things that caused them to sin, then he says, boom, I will deliver you from your enemy. Isn't God's form of government awesome? Well, that's Samuel. That is Samuel's form of government. That's God's form of government under Samuel. That's apostles and prophets. Does that make sense? And so, what came under God's kingship is deliverance, freedom, restoration, and peace. Isn't that something? And what do? They just cried out to God. They repented of their sins. They did away with the things that caused them to sin. And Father God chose to bring them deliverance, freedom, restoration, and peace. Remember, Samuel says, I'll call this Nebuchadnezzar because Father has delivered us thus far. There's no presumption in all that. It's just the goodness of God. Father God is so good. He is so good. Let's look at Samuel here. Let's look at Samuel, which is God's form of government. God is king. Okay, let's look at Saul, which is man's choice to have a king. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 8. How did Saul come about? And we talked about kind of his characteristics and all, but let's look right here in verse 1. Of chapter 8, 1 Samuel. When Samuel grew old, he appointed his sons as judges for Israel. The name of his firstborn was Joel, and the name of his secondborn was Abijah, and they served at Beersheba. But his sons did not walk in his ways. So they didn't actually walk in Father God's ways the way Samuel did. So he appointed them, they're not walking in his ways. They turned aside after dishonest gain and accepted bribes and perverted justice. In other words, the justice that they were given was not God's form of justice, social justice. So the elders of Israel gathered together and came to Samuel at Ramah. They said to him, "You are old, and your sons do not walk in your ways. Now appoint a king to lead us, such as all the others nations have, such as all the other nations have, such as all the other nations have." Isn't it pretty interesting that in America right now, they're looking at all the other nations and they're saying, well, this nation has that, and this nation has that, and this one has this form of government, that has, you know, and all of a sudden that But the church is doing that. The church is doing that. The people that call themselves the Lord's, that says that Jesus is their king. Think about it. And so right here we're thinking, based off what they're saying at this point, that maybe Father God's okay with this because his sons were dysfunctional, there were bad leadership, you know, that and that's the only reason that they're wanting to do this. Well, let's read on a little bit more. In verse 6, he said, "But when they said, 'Give us a king to lead us,' this displeased Samuel. So he prayed to the Lord. The Lord told him," this is what God told him, Father God said this, he said, "Listen to all that the people are saying to you. It is not that you they're rejecting." He's saying, "Samuel, remember, I'm the king. You're my form of government that I use as king." He says, "It's not you that they're rejecting, but they have rejected me as their king." So let's quickly understand that. Bad leadership does not justify us turning to the world to solve our problems. We still turn to God. Father God was not okay, even though Samuel's sons were dysfunctional and they were in sin. It wasn't okay to leave Father God's kingship in your life and turn to the world to meet your needs. To turn to an attorney, to turn to a government, to turn to America, to turn to another nation. No, 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 no. You're rejecting God as king in your life. We're rejecting Jesus Christ as the king in his kingdom. And so we're finding out right here that that we're actually rejecting, if we do that, and that's what Israel was doing, they were rejecting God as their king. And he was telling his government, he was telling those who operate under his anointing, Samuel, who he chose to run his government under his kingship. He says, "It has nothing to do with you." Let me tell you something, if you're a VFN church leader, if you're a father or a mother, if you're over somebody, if you're an apostle, if you're a prophet, you know, and people are not following the leadership that God has put in your life, realize, pray for them, because they're coming against God. They're not coming against you. You're not king. He's king. And it's his form of government that they're turning against. It's him they're rejecting. They're not rejecting you. And we have to understand, I'm sending out an SOS. We have to get this. Why is the world under such great distress? Why is the Gulf filled with black oil? Why is the earth shaking from sea to sea? Why is the economy going up in flames? Why are all these things happening in the very healthcare system that America is putting in? The same time, the very same time Canada's going, we're going bankrupt because we have that form. It's just form of healthcare. It's like, wait a minute. What are we doing? Jesus Christ is the answer. The kingdom of God is the answer. America's not the answer. Russia's not the answer. China's not the answer. India's not the answer. South Africa's not the answer. Mexico's not the answer. Jesus Christ and the kingdom of God is the answer. And we're finding out right here, and let's read a little bit more right here in verse 8, because we're finding out the difference. How did Saul come about? And so you're starting to see right now, they're saying, we don't like what's happening. We don't like the way, and they were right in saying that these guys were dysfunctional. But they were wrong in saying, this gives us a reason to leave your kingship in our life. And create our own hireling to be able to work for us and do what we think is right. Verse 8, he says, "As they have done from the day I brought them out of Egypt until this day, forsaking me and serving other gods, so they are doing it to you. Now, listen to them, but warn them solemnly." Listen to this. Warn them solemnly. What am I doing? I'm sending out an SOS. I'm warning you solemnly. And this is what we have to do to everybody, the entire church. I don't care. Fear no man. Realize we have to warn the church solemnly. SOS. It's Samuel or Saul. You're going to have to pick. You can't have them both. And we'll talk more about that. But he said, warn them solemnly and let them know what the king will do, who will reign over you. He said, let them know. Tell them what he'll do. Let's see what he does. In verse 10, Samuel told the words of the Lord to the people who were asking him for a king. He said, "This is what the king who reigns over you will do. He will take your sons and make them serve with his chariots and horses, and they will run in front of his chariots. Some he will assign to be commanders of thousands and commanders of fifties, Others will plow his grounds and reap his harvest, and still others will make weapons of war and equipment for chariots. He will take your daughters to be perfumers and cooks and bakers. He will take the best of your jobs, the best of your fields and vineyards and olive groves, and give them over to his attendants. He will take a tenth of your grain and of your vintage and give it to his officials and attendants, your men servants and maid servants, and the best of your cattle and donkeys will be taken for his own use. He will take a tenth of your flock, and yourselves will become his slaves. Then he says, this is God talking through his prophet, through his government. He says, verse 18, and when that day comes, he says, when that day comes, you will cry out for relief from the king you have chosen, and the Lord will not answer you in that day. Why? Because a people that they were rejecting God as king. How can we expect to reject God and then God rescue us when he gives us exactly what we wanted? Verse 19, but the people refused to listen to Samuel. Who are they not listening to? God. They said, no, they said, we want a king over us. So the nature, the carnal nature of the human being is like, make me a slave. It's amazing. It's like, just tell me what to do. I don't want freedom. I don't want to have to make my own decisions. I don't want to have to discipline myself. I don't want to make myself have to get up and go to my own business to be able to do my own job to earn a living. I want somebody to tell me when to show up to work. I want somebody to tell me how much I'm going to get paid an hour. I want somebody to tell me when I can have lunch and can't have lunch. Why? Because there's something inside of the sinful nature of man that says it wants to be enslaved. But Jesus came to set you free under his lordship, in his government, to be free, to bless you. But if you keep turning to a king other than King Jesus, you're going to be slaves. You may think you're free, but you're not free. They said, no. They said, we want a king over us. Then we will be like all the other nations. Then we'll be like Canada. We'll be like Denmark. Then we'll be like Japan. You know, they name them all the time. He says, then we'll be like all the other nations, with a king to lead us and to go out before us and fight our battles. You see, they weren't wanting to fight their battles. They weren't willing to do what was required. God's people weren't willing to do what was required. What is that? What is that? To do what's right. To repent. Integrity is the courage to meet the demands of reality. It's to understand that you got to fight the good fight of faith. That you need to abide with God. You got to hang out with him and hear him and obey him and stay free like that. Stay free in his government. Don't revert to the Saul form of government. Don't turn away from God. I'm sending out an SOS to you. And so what came with Saul was they're saying, listen, we don't want you as our king, God. Look at everybody else out there. This is what they have. They have this form of government, and they have soldiers that fight for them, and everybody's guaranteed a health care plan, and everybody's guaranteed a place in the union, and everybody's guaranteed an education. And you got to understand, it's like, in the natural sense, you would think, hey, no, if it means turning away from God, if it means turning away from his form of government to depend and trust and rely on a man's form of government, it's not going to work out good. There's not going to be deliverance. There's not going to be restoration. There's not going to be peace. It's just not going to happen. I want to talk to you about it in just a second. But we cannot trust in anything other than the King Jesus' leadership in our life. We're called into the kingdom of God under his kingship, under his form of government. And granted, by me telling you right now about the government of God, it may be the furthest thing from your mind. Now, you can talk about senators, congressmen, presidents, cabinets, and all that, and chief justices. Why? Because that's man's form of government. But do you even know about apostles? Do you even know about prophets? Do you understand that Jesus is the cornerstone of the government? The government will be what? On his shoulders, and it will be forever. The government of the king. And he says, and when that day comes, when you get this king that you want, Saul, when you get this king, and you cry out for relief, because believe me, you'll cry. Every nation that ever turned to man's form of government to save them eventually cried out. It's never worked. And they cry out, and they're expecting God to come and rescue them. And this is what will happen. It'll happen when people fall to their faces and repent for turning to man and rejecting God as their king and turning to other gods. S-O-S. We've got to find out, how does Father God, how does King God, King Jesus, feel when we demand a king to meet our needs? Look at 1 Samuel chapter 8. It's a good, you know, we need to understand that, because this is a gospel being preached today that God doesn't even have feelings. He doesn't have emotions, that he we cannot hurt him, we cannot reject him. And it's just so crazy to think that we're created, first of all, in the image and the likeness of God, and understanding that if we're creating the image and likeness of God, although we're only partially able to experience what he experienced perfectly, you got to understand, we can hurt Father God's heart. This is not it's just not a game. It's eternity. It is eternity. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 8, verse 1. He tells us right there. He says, realize this, that they rejected me as their king. They rejected me as their king. That's 1 Samuel chapter 8. Chapter 8, verse 7, we have to realize that they rejected God. No, they didn't say, hey, Father God, we reject you. They just said, we want a king. If we just get the right president in office, if we get the right political party in office, if we'll just start having a healthcare system like the United Kingdom or like Canada, if we'll just, what are you doing? I'm talking to the church now. I'm not talking to the world. I'm not talking to people who don't know God. I'm not talking about people who, if the Lord comes back today, they will not be with the Lord. I'm talking to you, the church, the people who claim to know God, who claim to know God through his son, Jesus Christ. I'm talking to you. I'm sending out an SOS to you and say, listen, there's great distress in the land. It's because the church has turned to earthly kings. They've demanded kings to do what only God can do through his king, son, Jesus Christ. King of kings and Lord of lords. 1 Samuel chapter 12, you can turn there, because we're going to find out what does Father God feel about this demanding a king. We know immediately the second we demand a king to do something like that, we're actually rejecting God as king. We're rejecting Jesus as king. We're saying, you meet our needs. You meet my needs. You make my wage right. You make sure I get paid this much an hour. You make sure that my health care is right. You make sure that marriage is right. You make sure that family's right. And all of a sudden somebody says, well, government's so involved in our everyday life. Hello, you turned to government. You didn't turn to God. He says, listen, when you cry out, when that day comes and you cry out to me, I'm not going to hear you. But you know, if we repent, he'll hear us. God loves you. He's got a plan for your life. But you cannot serve two kings. You can only serve one. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 12. We're finding out how Father God feels when we demand a king. And Samuel's talking to 1 Samuel 12, verse 16. How is it perceived by God? He says in verse 16, now then, stand still and see the great thing the Lord is about to do before your eyes. This is Samuel talking to Israel, who demanded a king. And he already said, give them what they want. Is it not time for the wheat harvest? I will call upon the Lord to send thunder and rain, and you will realize what an evil thing you did in the eyes of the Lord when you asked for a king. It's evil. Huh. Yeah, come on. You know, if you're a husband and your wife brings home another husband, you're not all ushy and gushy about that. It's evil. It's evil. And that's our little simple nature. Listen, when we turn away from God and we say, Jesus, you're not a good enough king for me. I got to get a king that's going to meet my needs. That's evil. That's evil. It's hurtful. He loves us and he laid down his life for us. And we're hurting the heart of God when we do that. Just like your heart would hurt. So he says, you'll realize that you will realize what an evil thing you have done in the eyes of the Lord when you asked for a king. Because you remember, asking for a king meant we failed to acknowledge Jesus Christ as our king. What are you doing so deep in politics? You're supposed to be in the kingdom of God. What are you doing? Picking sides. Pick Jesus as your king. Let's look at Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 5. We're finding out how does the Lord feel about us when we demand a king. We found out it's evil. We found out it's rejecting God. And he says, this is what the Lord says, Jeremiah 17, 5. This is what the Lord says, cursed is the man who trusts in man. Cursed is the man who trusts in man. Isn't it funny how everybody demands men to be trustable? I'm going to put you in office. I'm going to make you my king. I'm going to make you my president. And then they get so angry at him because they say, I can't trust you. What are you doing putting your trust in a man and not God? He said, cursed is the man who trusts in a man, who depends on flesh for his strength, and whose heart turns away from the Lord. That's what that is. The second you start looking to a political party, the second you start looking to some man's got to get in the right place at the right time to do the right thing, and it's not Jesus you're talking about, you have turned your back on God. S-O-S, distress. We're told in Matthew 6, 24, he says, you cannot, Jesus said it, you can't serve two masters. You can't have two kings. It's either Samuel or it's Saul. It's either God as king in his form of government, or you're turning to a secular man to be able to lead you. What's it going to be? It's not Samuel and Saul. It's S-O-S, Samuel or Saul. What's it going to be? How intertwined are you with Saul? It would take you so long to repent to get back to Samuel. Do you even know about God's form of government? Exodus 23, he tells us, you shall have no other gods before me. What's he saying? There should be no other kings before me. That's what he's saying. That's what he's saying. 1 Kings 18:21, Elijah begins to declare before God's people. Elijah went before the people and he said, how long will you waver between two opinions? How long, I'm asking you, church, how long will you waver between two kings? You're spending more time preaching the kingdom of man than the kingdom of God. You don't even know about the kingdom of God, maybe. And you're on the radio stations and you're listening to people talk about the kingdom of man when you're not even moving in the king's kingdom, because he's called you to preach his kingdom, not the kingdoms of this world. Elijah declares before God's people, he says, how long will you waver between Samuel and Saul, is what he's saying. How long will you waver between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. If the Lord is king, follow him. But if Baal is God, follow him. Determine who your king's going to be. S-O-S, sending out a distress. Distress, listen, before the nation trembled as it trembles today, Father showed me President George W. Bush holding the steering wheel of this country like a brave man holding it to its point of destruction. And it was shaking and shaking and shaking. And I'm solemnly warning you, telling you, S-O-S, it's in distress. I don't care what they're saying. I don't care if they're trying to get along with politicians and bring them into their churches and all that. You're supposed to be preaching the kingdom of God. Jesus Christ is the king. He is the Lord. He's the one that brings restoration and deliverance. He's the one that sets us free. He's the one that pushes back the Philistines and gives us peace in our life. It is no man on the face of this earth but the government of God under the lordship of Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, there's great deception that's fallen in the land. There's great deception. I don't care how big the building is or how small your group is. I'm telling you, if Jesus Christ is not your king and you're not in the kingdom of God, you're missing it and you're under the government of Saul. S-O-S. The church of America and the world has to stop wavering between Samuel and Saul. We have to stop wavering between the two. We have to realize that we have to begin to send out this distress signal, S-O-S. You're in distress because of the because we're demanding a king to meet our needs and rejecting Father God as our king simultaneously. The church is doing this. They're praising God with one side of their mouth, and they're praising a king with the other side of their mouth, a secular king. The church has left King Jesus' form of government. Look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. The church has left. You might not even ever heard of Jesus as king. He's King of Kings. He's Lord of Lords. We are to preach the king's domain, the kingdom. Seek first what? The kingdom of God. It's the dominion of God. And he said, where's the dominion of God? Where's the kingdom? It's within us. Look at this. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. He's talking about the government of God. He says, it was he, verse 11, who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors and teachers. What? To do what? To prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ, the King, may be built up until we reach unity in the faith and the knowledge of what? The Son of God, and become mature, attaining the whole measure and the fullness of Jesus Christ. That's the government of God. You can't sit here and reject the apostles and reject the prophets and turn to a secular king to meet your needs and saying you're actually accepting Jesus Christ as the king of your life. It's not true. You can't. It's Samuel or Saul. You can't have them both. Which one are you going to choose? Well, I can manipulate this one. I can control this one. I can threaten that one. I can write letters to them and say, if you don't do this, I won't vote for you. Well, have at it. But Jesus is not your king. And you're not in the kingdom of God, if that's what you're doing. We're in a distress because we're thinking Father God is okay with us having both. I go to church on Sunday between 8 o'clock and 8:15. And all week long, I'm upset because of the king or the president, maybe depending on your nation, is not doing what you think they should do. Not understanding it should have been Jesus Christ as your king. The truth is, it's either Samuel or Saul. You can't have them both. Let me give you some examples here. You know, one form of government is a socialistic government. And in this particular government, we'll use Denmark for example, that over 50% of their income is given in taxes. Over 50%. But the government, they say, meets all their needs. It sends them to school. It has unions they can get into to guarantee them jobs. It takes care of their health care. It takes care of their security. But at the same time, they're struggling with huge sin issues in their nation. They're having open Baal and Asheroth worship right in the heart of their capital city. They have legalized prostitution, open sex trade, pornographic capital probably of the world. Is Copenhagen, Denmark. Many of them are against Israel. They justify now that everything's twisted. They're thinking that that it's okay to be against Israel. Racist. Their small country is used by internationals to openly oppress and have sex slaves. I mean, in other words, it's not even Danish people in this part I'm talking about. They're using that land that turn to man and not God to develop second heaven just to come and have a field day and enslave another nation. So one nationality comes in and enslaves another nationality and a nation that's not even theirs. And it's happening all over Denmark, especially in Copenhagen. And it's twisted and they're frustrated. Why are they frustrated? Because they're trying to have them both. They love the way the government's taking care of them. They love the way the queen or the king, the queen in this case, is taking care of them. They love the way the parliament meets their needs. But at the same time, they're going, I want this relationship with what is king? Do you want King Jesus? Are you trying to have them both? Are you willing to give up everything that Saul will give you for everything that will come through Samuel by King Jesus? You can't have them both. They're wanting to have Samuel and Saul. They're wanting to embrace God for what they feel He is to them while they're embracing the queen or the king to meet their needs. And we just read, we just heard, you're rejecting God. You're rejecting him when you do that. It's the rejection of God. It's evil to choose that king to meet your needs. I'm not saying the king's evil. I'm saying what the individual believer who says that they actually accepted Jesus Christ as the Lord of their life, as the king of their life, and they're living in the kingdom of God, are actually serving another kingdom. That's what I'm talking about. Another example is that during President George W. Bush's administration for 8 years in America, they started a thing called the faith-based grants, where they were going to give money to the church or religious organizations and help them do good deeds. And so the church ran by the droves, ran to the government, what we need is more money. If we just get more money. And I'm looking, I'm like Samuel growing up under Eli going, but why are you turning? I don't understand why you think the government's actually, now they're going to give you money, but you got to pull Jesus out of it. They're going to give you money, but you got to differentiate between what you're doing for the kingdom of God and what you're doing for the kingdom of man. You can't preach Jesus. You know what they said? They're going, I'm cool with that. I'm going like, what are you doing? You're a minister of the king. Why would you pull the king out of anything you're doing? You know why? Because it turned into a social justice movement. The church turned it into a do-good movement and not the kingdom of God movement. It was about social justice instead of about the king and his kingdom, who is just, and his kingdom is just. I remember that several ministers got together in the city that I was in, and they invited me to come into the group, and they called it a particular name of this community group, and they were going to get together and pool their resources to get some big faith-based grant to come in. And it was just people were running me down continually going, you got to go to this meeting, you got to go to that meeting. They're giving away grant money. And I was just, my whole spirit was just like, this is not right. And what's this about? And you're my brothers, and you say you know God, and you're walking with God, so I love you, but my love for God's causing me to repel you. And so I couldn't figure out what was going on. And at one particular point, I remember I was in an office with several ministers, you know, several people who are leading God's people around a speakerphone. And the person talking on the speakerphone was in another state, and it was a lady that had a very strong Jezebelic spirit on her. And she had the power, supposedly, to be able to write a grant that could access money for this thing that the ministers wanted to do. And so she rebuked these ministers over a speakerphone. You know, there was such a Jezebel spirit. And they said nothing. They're like almost yes-ma'aming her and bowing down. You know why? Because they were turning to Saul. They were turning to government. They thought money was the answer, but God, he told us you can't serve God and money. It is not about more money. It is about more God. It's not about more the kingdom of America. America is not the answer to the world. Jesus Christ is the answer to the world. Don't you dare get caught up in lifting up this country over the kingdom of God. I'm glad I'm American, but I'm much more happier that I'm actually a son of God. In the kingdom of God. And they sat around. And these are men, but they were turning to man, to Saul's government. And they were writing off God like Father God, King Jesus couldn't meet the needs, you know? And so they turned to what they thought that they want. We want, this is what we want. We want. And so he gives it to us, right? He gave them Saul. But that was evil. And so I finally one day, even though I love these brothers, I love God more. And I finally said, listen, will y'all still love me? I can't be a part of this. I just can't be a part of this. And I had to stand up and walk away from all, and it looked like I was the only one walking away from it. And a long story short, just the other day, that one of the particular men that were involved in this whole mindset of needing money, is now serving time in prison. Because there's never enough. Listen, when you turn to Saul, when you turn to man, it is evil. Cursed is the man who turns to man for his strength, that turns away from God. It's not going to be good. You're never going to find a government in men's government that's going to meet the needs that the government of God can meet. Never. It will never happen. So this is things I know of. You know, this is things I know of. And so they literally removed God. This is what they're saying. They're okay. The people of God were okay with removing God from their good works. And they were going to separate it and have another corporation, their old community group corporation. And that's where they're going to bring the money in from what? What? It was a social justice thing. And that, I'm telling you, you better stay alert, because God's not into social justice. He's into God's justice. He is just, and he is the one that justifies. It's not men bringing social justice. It's men preaching the justice of God, and God coming in and beginning to move and to establish himself. The church was saying, we just need more money to do what the church is supposed to do. But this is what Jesus said in Matthew 6:24. He said this. He says, no one can serve two masters. Either they'll hate the one or love the other. They'll be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Your answer is not more money. If you're thinking because you're under financial distress, it's because you need more money. I got some news for you. You need more of the kingdom of God. You need to hear God's voice. You need to follow what God says in that particular area of your life. You need to shake yourself free from all the things that enemies sowed into your life and tied you down and bound you down, and see God for deliverance from that whole situation and never go back there again. It's making sense. SOS. I'm sending out a SOS. It's not about more money. It's about more God. It's not about more kingdoms of this world. It's about the kingdom of God advancing in the hearts of men. That's what it's about. And the issue is not what kingdom of God do you physically live in. It's about what kingdom lives in you. You see, it's a total different argument. It's never about what's out here. It's about what's in here. You remember he says, when somebody tells you the kingdom of God is here, the kingdom of God is there, he says, don't pay attention to them, because the kingdom of God is within you. And so you can't look outside for the answer. You have to look inside for the answer. Knowing not that you are the temple of God, the king lives inside of you. So let's turn back to 1 Samuel. And let's see, what does it mean then? Maybe you have turned to government. Maybe you've been marching on the front lines and protesting outside the White House or your local government. Or you've been marching out front of your business or the place that you work and demanding higher salaries. And maybe all this stuff's been going on. But let's find out now. Say, I want to turn to God's government. I want to turn to Samuel. I want to turn to Jesus Christ as my king. I don't want to just say he's my king. I want him as the king of my life. Let's see what happens. 1 Samuel chapter 7, verse 3. We find out what they do right here. He says, chapter 7, verse 3, he says, Samuel says to the whole house of Israel, if you are returning to the Lord with all of your heart, then rid yourself of foreign gods and Asheroth, and commit yourself to the Lord, and serve him only, and he will deliver you out of all the hands of the Philistines. So Israel, the Israelites, put away their Baals and their Asheroths and serve the Lord only. They said, out of my choice of Samuel or Saul, I choose Samuel. I choose King Jesus and his form of government. That's it. What do you choose? 2 Chronicles 7:14-15 says the very same thing, where he tells us, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I'll hear from heaven, I will forgive their sins, and I will hear their land. Now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to the prayers offered in this place. Yeah. He says, when you cry out to me, when this day comes and you cry out to me, I won't hear. But you know what? If we repent and we turn to him only, he'll hear you. He'll hear us. His ears will be attentive to us, and he'll answer. I'm telling you, He loves you, but you got to choose him as your king. There's no more trying to embrace Saul and Samuel at the same time. You got to choose who you're going to serve. You know, it's recognizing our King Jesus form of government, understanding that he is a king. And the first thing we're supposed to do in Matthew 6:33 says the first thing you do is seek first the kingdom of God. You got to understand this is a kingdom. And he says in Matthew 28, he says, teach them to obey all the commandments that I gave you. What is that? That's the operating procedures for the kingdom of God. Ephesians 4:11-13, it was he that gave apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, and evangelists. For what? To prepare, to organize, to structure, to launch, to train and launch his people into their destiny. You know, it's not about natural forms of government. It's about the government of God. You know, it's not about the form of government or kingdom that you're living in. It's not about that. It's about the government or the kingdom of God living inside of you. That's what it's about. Does he have dominion over you? Have you given your heart wholly over him? He says, fully rid yourself of those things. If it were about the form of government and the land that you were living in, and I've heard Americans say that over and over again, American Christians say the only way the gospel will get out is if the only way that the kingdom can be preached is what they're basically saying, is if it happens under the American form of government. If it only happens under certain kingdoms allow the kingdom of God to advance, that would be a travesty. And that would not be true. That's a very prideful people that think anything men could do could stop the kingdom of God. It's not if you live in a socialistic government or kingdom that the kingdom of God can advance. It's not that you live in a Marxist government or a communist or republic or a democratic or monarchy kingdom. It has nothing to do with that. It has to do with the kingdom living inside of you. What does that mean? That means you can go to Denmark and you can preach the kingdom of God and people can get set free as they make Jesus the king and the Lord of their life. It means you can go to China in the deepest part of communism where there's a dictator demanding behaviors from his people and you can actually preach the kingdom of God and they can become free and get set free and get delivered and have peace in their life. It means you can go in the heart of America and preach the kingdom of God. And no matter that it's a republic, you can preach the kingdom of God. No matter what's happening, if there's dysfunction in the White House or there's dysfunction in your political government, don't get involved with Saul's form of government. Get involved in the kingdom of God. Preach the kingdom of God that every man's personally held accountable to King Jesus. Jesus' ministry took place during two forms of government around him. A monarchy and a theocracy was taking place. It wasn't a republic. It wasn't where everybody gets a chance to vote. Nobody was voting. There was slavery. There was unfair taxes. There was false imprisonment. There was cronyism in all forms of government. Nepotism all over the place. There was government-supported false religions. There was manipulating, Jezebelic, jealous, and fear-driven people who claimed to be God's leadership. Yet, in the middle of all that, he successfully ministered. He made it possible for the entire world, if they choose to, be saved. Not because of the kingdom he physically lived in. It was because of the kingdom that lived inside of him. It was the Father's kingdom living inside of him. Don't fall trapped to preaching the kingdoms of man. Don't fall, oh, we got to have this perfect form of government. Get yourself out of Saul's government and get yourself back in or in for the first time in God's government and allow the kingdom of God to advance through you and in your life. You're torn apart. You're frustrated like a Danish believer trying to hug socialism at the same time you're trying to hug Samuel, and it's not going to work. You got to say, listen, even if I lose everything, even if I lose my job, even if I lose my family, even if I lose every dime on the face of this earth, I am not going to leave King Jesus. He is the king. He is the Lord of lords. S-O-S, Samuel or Saul. It's not about the kingdom one lives in. It's about the kingdom living inside of you. It's not about the king or the president, in our case, in your nation. It's about the king in your heart. It's not about who's sitting on the throne in your nation. It's who's sitting on the throne in your heart. Who are you submitting to? Who is your king? Who has dominion over you? Who do you trust? Whose government? Do you pay better attention to your local senator or your local parliament than you do to the apostle that God has in your life? To the VFN church leader that God has in your life? Father God's sending out a message. What is it? S-O-S. The church is in distress. It's time to choose. It's time to choose. You can't have both Samuel and Saul. You have to choose. Is Jesus going to be the Lord of my life? Is he going to be the King of my life? Seek first the kingdom of God. Remember, when God's form of government comes in, you saw firsthand what happened when Israel turned and said, listen, God, we want you as the King of our life. We accept Samuel's leadership. I understand what happened with Eli, but we accept what you're doing. Father God, we've sinned. We've turned to other gods. They removed everything out of their life. And what happened? They had deliverance. They had freedom. They had restoration. And they had peace. See, there's not a king like Jesus. There is not a king like Jesus. He loves you. He's got a plan for your life. He died for you. He'll forgive you. He'll restore you. All the years that bad decision and locusts have devoured, he will actually restore those years. He's filled with mercy and grace. He's not just a king. He's King of kings and Lord of lords. And he will rule forever and ever and ever. And one day he's coming back on the horse with us, those that are with him, to rule and reign forever. There's one kingdom that his subjects should be preaching. And it's his kingdom, the kingdom of God. Is it Samuel or is it Saul? Make up your mind, just like Elijah said, choose today who you're going to serve. Who's going to be the Lord of your life? I'm sending this message out. Don't walk away from this message without saying, I can choose tomorrow. This may be your very last day. Today, you could pull away from this message and your car could end your life with a car accident. You could just drop dead of a heart attack in 5-6 minutes from now or a day from now. The enemy could come in and take this country, whatever country you're listening, and all of a sudden a whole different rulership comes over and they snuff out your life. I'm telling you, you're not guaranteed tomorrow. You need to choose who are you going to serve. Listen, I know deep inside the inner parts of my being, I have been so irritated with God's people choosing Saul and talking about Saul. And it's like, what about Jesus? What about him? He died for you. What about his kingdom? What about his word? SOS, I'm sending out distress. He was holding on to the steering wheel of the nation. Everything Father told me. Let me tell you something about Samuel. God's form of government said this. It says, everything that came out of his mouth came to pass. That's God's form of government. Well, look, you can read the prophecies. They have been up. God has already told me specifically what's going to take place. And I'm telling you now, the end of this is not good unless you repent. Turn to him. He loves you. He's got a plan for your life. He's been rejected by his own people. But he's saying, come back. Come back. Make me the Lord of your life. Seek first my kingdom and my righteousness, and I'll meet all your needs. You don't need man's government. You need my government. Let's pray. Father, I thank you. Oh, I'm so thankful. You're so good. Even when your people chose Saul, you still, even after rebuking your people, you still offered a way for them to follow you. You're just good. You're just good. You're just good. Every way I look at you, you're good. Lord, how can we ever turn our backs on you? Lord, forgive us where we've sinned against you. We've turned to politics. We've turned to nations. We've turned to concepts and ideas and turned to men. God, forgive us. We've sinned against you and we sinned against others. We turn fully to you, Lord. It's your kingdom that we will preach. May your kingdom come. May your will be done. In Jesus' name. Amen.
If you haven't yet met Father God through his son, Jesus Christ, let me introduce you to him at meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him. For more teachings like this from myself, Greg Lancaster, and others, go to vfntv.com. You can also download the VFN TV app by searching your mobile phone app store or by going to vfntv.com. And you'll be able to join us at VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program, where we're seeking to educate ourselves on what is taking place in today's world, to illuminate it with God's perspective from His Word, and inspire you to maybe walk with the Lord and to activate your destiny with God that He's called you to. For more information, go to VFNTV.com. VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program is brought to you by our partners of Greg Lancaster Ministries at greglancasterministries.org.